We are going to go ahead and start our work session. It's Tuesday, April 16th at 6:06 p.m. We are going to have the closed session, so if somebody wants to make that motion.
I will make the motion that we go into closed session pursuant to Utah State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205. 1A, to discuss the character, professional competencies, or physical or mental health of an individual. Located here at the
community
center in Cedar Hills.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Miller. Councilmember Miller? Councilmember Bailey? Councilmember Geddes?
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Motion is unanimous. We will go to full session.
Too much.
Review the budget.
Yes. So Charles not here tonight, so Tammy will present the budget.
What? Charles is in St. George, Sunny St. George, doing the Government Finance Officers Association conference. We wanted to present this preliminary budget when Mayor Reese was still in the country. So we're going to typically do this in May. This is the state-required adoption of the preliminary budget that doesn't hold a whole lot of meaning because the budget still can change from now until June to adopt the final budget. But the state says we have to do it, so we do it. Charlotte always does a really great job putting together these PowerPoints. And I have a different view of PowerPoint. I try to stay away from it whenever I can. I'm not a huge proponent of it. I'm going to go through his PowerPoint to be prepared. And it looks like my computer does not want to show it the color. So, there.
That's color.
Yeah, he uses a black background.
So just to kind of go back through some history of the water, tonight we're only talking about the water sewer fund. We talked about all the other funds, so tonight we're talking about the water sewer fund, and then we're going to be asking to adopt the preliminary budget. But we did culinary and secondary water high demand on current wells. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, that there's a stress on the system in that once the watering season starts, the wells are going, and we're draining the tank every night. I mean, even today, we have people that are watering their lawns. It's ridiculous. Season going probably in June, late May or June, we're going to approach the council with a proposal to change our watering season. We'd like to have it start at May 1st rather than April 15th, should there be a dry season. So right now, it's a really wet spring. There's no need to water ground right now. So if it were up to staff this year, we wouldn't turn the water on until May 1st. But we've had dry years in the past when April 15th will kind of show them what other communities do. Many other communities don't start their watering season until May 1st. It's actually very common. So we've done studies in the past, the Hanson Mountain Blue study. We've had water conservations and meetings in the past where they've made recommendations. We've instituted watering restrictions and fines, and year over year, this last legislative session, the state has legislated the bill December 31st. We've started working on it in order to be compliant with the state. We want to make sure that we've got a plan in place for how we're going to start secondary metering. The highlights from the sewer 2018, this is the last audited year. This is not the current budget year that we're in, but Charles wanted to show you the last audited year. Another line of debt service. The city pays quite a bit of money in Rocky Mountain Power electrical costs because we have to pump water up the hill. And so that's where you're going to see that our system, our utility rates are very different from a neighboring city like Alpine. Our situations are very different. And you can see the other changes, the other expenses that we have in this budget. This is still, because it's the 2017-2018 budget, it's the best thing we have for Hawkins. This is our sewer expenses, monthly sewer expenses. So you can see a trend line each year, month over month. The mystery that we cannot figure out is why sewer sewer meters show more flow going through the meters in the wintertime than any other time. We haven't figured that out. And I don't know if we're an anomaly in that regard, or every other city has the same thing you'd see. You think you'd see a dip in terms of your sewer outfall meters, but we see an actual increase. So we need to get more information on that. But like I said, it's that actually shows it year over year, not just every year. It's these between right here's your winter, every year it bumps up in the winter. It's not just this year, it's every year.
So okay, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Where does the storm drain water go?
It's usually retained inside the city. It's not storm drain.
Like, we don't have a storm drain system that takes it away from us pretty much anywhere, do we? Everything goes.
No, it's all retained.
Everything drops into sumps.
We do have a small portion in that
one little piece.
The old original part that drains into the ditch can make its way to Utah Lake. But
this wouldn't go through the sewer outfall.
No.
So that wouldn't explain. The sewer outfalls are at the very end of the city, so there's so many options, there's so many reasons it could be why it increases the water consumption.
Start taking more warm, longer showers.
This is our collection of water sewer storm drain impact fees versus other cities. Basically, this is a reflection of how much building is going on in Cedar Hills versus other cities. So you can see Harriman, Eagle Mountain, Lehigh, Cedar Hills. Around here. So the amount of growth that they experienced in 1 year, you know, that we could probably expect in a century at this pace. So with that, you have the city's not collecting a lot of impact fees. So this blue trend line shows the water sewer impact fee, and it's a negative balance. And that's not to say that there's this account that has a deficit of $457,000. That's simply to say that we've expended $450,000 of money that is qualified for reimbursement from impact fees. We're probably never going to see that go positive just because we're done growing. But as money comes in, so we have Cedar Canyon, we have a group of 80 homes going in there. The water impact fees that we collect there, we've already expended money that's qualified as water expenses, so it becomes unrestricted fund money for the city. Some upcoming projects we have, we're working with Bowdoin Collins on maintaining and updating our current pressure reduction valves. These are valves because we have to pump the water so high up the hill and it comes back down and it has such a high pressure, we have to slow it down so it goes through what's called the PRV. We're making sure that those aren't going to fail. If those fail, we'll have a major issue throughout the whole city. So we're working on maintaining those. There's a number of other projects that we're working on. The big one is this bottom line, secondary meters. Now that it's a state mandate, we have to start coming up with a plan. New homes will automatically be required to install a secondary water meter.
Yes. Will that affect the 80 homes?
We had actually agreed to them.
Oh, they agreed
to secondary meters prior to that legislation, so they were going to have to do it anyway, but now they have to anyway.
So it's not mandated yet that we have to install on existing homes. It's just that we have to have a plan and show how we would do it and how much it would cost.
Yeah, so right now we're gathering information. The Public Works Building Department is gathering that information and generating that report. If you're curious about that report, we can send it to the council before it gets sent out to the state. We're trying to get that done early so that should there be an issue with the way that the city's presented its report or made its assumptions, that the state can give us feedback and we can correct those errors prior to December 31st deadline. And this shows your utility bill breakdown. So this is Cedar Hills down here at the bottom. And both cities have, well, every city has water. Some have shown their CUP. I think some cities have built their CUP funds into their water funds. So we're trying to show apples to apples here, but it's very difficult. Because Highland, they show an open space park fee here, and they show a transportation fee here. And it's just, we have a paramedic fee here. So some cities have different fees on their utility bills that other cities don't have. So Alpine is right here. They're the lowest here that's being shown. And most of that is just due to the way that their system is set up. Where we have to pump water from the very lowest point in the city and then pump it up to the highest point in the city and then bring it down and we have to power that whole system. Alpine has springs that they collect. So it just naturally comes down off the mountain, they get it collected, and then send it down the mountain. So they're saving a lot of money on their recovery costs. As well as, I believe that some of the things that, like your, like pilot has their open space fee, their transportation fee, we have a paramedic fee. Some of those things are represented in your property tax bill as well. So, or we've shown it on a utility bill, some cities have it on their annual property tax assessment. If I'm going too fast, please let me know. Stop me.
I was going to remember correctly, Alpine doesn't purchase any water from CDP, right?
They don't have to purchase any water from CDP.
They have access to a lot of water.
They have a very, very easy to use system. Then the current budget, this first bullet point, uncertainty about public works management structures, good impact budget. We had an employee leave the city 2 months ago.
Chad's last March, special March.
Beginning of March. He was our operations manager, so he oversaw the day-to-day activities of the technicians, oversaw a group of about 6 or 7 individuals. And for all intents and purposes, acted as the public works director in Jeff's absence, as Jeff has been pulled away in many directions toward the building. If you've been around the city lately, you'll notice that there's, for a small community, there's quite a bit going on. So Jeff's attention is divided between public works and building, and right now building is taking quite a toll. So we had Chad, who was our operations manager, who took another position at another city, left us with vacancy. Ultimately, what we're going to try to do here is to split out our public works department from our building department. Jeff is, I like to refer to him as a unicorn, in that if he were to go away, we'd have a really challenging time trying to find a replacement, somebody that's qualified to run the public works department and be a building official for the city. So the ultimate goal here is to split the building department away from the public works department and hire somebody as an assistant public works director initially or an operations manager that could then be trained and then take over those responsibilities that Jeff has as the public works director. So that in the eventuality, if Jeff ever decides to retire, which we hope is never, because he's such a valuable asset, and this is such a great place to work, but if he ever decides to retire, we're only replacing the building official and not a building official / public works director. So this is more of a succession planning. In doing so, we have to arrange the budget to pay for an assistant public works director and maybe not an operations manager. We've gone through some interviews and we're evaluating those interviews, and it's still, nothing's been decided yet, but we're going to go probably do some follow-up interviews with some of the candidates. Then we have the utility rate study that Norman Collins did. They did an initial study, I believe it was in 2012, and they revised that in 2016. With the current plans, with the current projects that we have planned, and the maintenance that we have planned, they're recommending a 6.4% rate plan increase on the water fee and PI usage. We're recommending a 0%, and then storm drain recommending a 3.5% and 6.5%. Sewer, we've reduced the amount of sewer projects that we have, so this is a bit of a tricky one. The Bowen Call study suggests 3%. We have to maintain a debt service coverage ratio of 1.25%. Year over year for our debt, for our bond covenants. With that 3%, if we were to adopt these rates, it would put us at 1.38, which is well above our debt service ratio that we require to do, and that allows us to hire the operations manager, the assistant public works director as needed. We can also change this to 0. What that does to the debt service coverage ratio in the first year is it changes it to 1.34. So we're still meeting our budget for debt service coverage ratio.
What is this 3% exactly?
It's a 3% rating increase on the sewer.
Oh, rating increase.
Yeah. So what these do is it generates the revenues that we have in order to meet our debt level on companies. So that initial year we're fine. However, the model that we use to show year-over-year increases, and if we're going to meet our bond covenants, shows that if we go to 3%, from 3% to 0% this year, next year, rather than being 1.34, the debt service coverage ratio, that'll be 1.19. So we have to maintain that, otherwise we're in violation of our bond covenants. So that's the presentation that Charles put together. I didn't go over every bullet point, but I hope you have a chance to review the plan, review the proposal, review the budget. What questions can I answer at this time? If I don't have an answer, I can get that for you. Still possible.
When would that proposal, when would we propose those rate increases effective July 1st?
July 1st.
So what, out of those all together, like what are people going to see on their bills?
On an average, $4.
A couple dollars. Okay.
I think the bond column said it shows the amounts, if I remember correctly. Well, it shows the base rate without the change, and then with the, you know, this many gallons, this many, how much, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It assumes an average user, and I believe it may show, and I think we can send that out to the council. It's been a number of years. We can send that out. But it assumes that on an average bill, kind of like what we show on property tax, mm-hmm. an average property tax will look like this. It can show an average bill what it would look like. However, people's bills are
But if I remember correctly, it broke it down. So for water, you get so many gallons for your base rate, and then after that, there's a tier.
Yeah.
The motor column study showed you year by year what those new rates would be. So
we can send that up.
I mean, I feel like if we keep them down to these percentages, people understand. I mean, mm-hmm. wages go up. You know, the cost of things, expenses go up. It's unreasonable.
Well, the thing I really liked about the bond column study when we did it in 2012 and then 2016 as well is the rate increases are also accounting for future replacements and maintenance. And so when we need to do something, we don't have to go out and bond for it. We improve the funds in our account to be able to pay for those projects.
It is a mechanism that allows us to not do debt service. And it may even provide us a way for us to do secondary meters without putting in debt service. That's the challenge with that project, in that the state, they initially had a 10-year timeline, then they moved it out to a 20-year timeline, and then the final bill had no timeline. And so it's really going to be interesting to see how the state reacts to that, because if that's something that we have to build into these budgets, then all of a sudden, we're trying to chop that off at 5% of the city each year, you're looking at probably $125,000 a year. If you're trying to do 10% of the city, you're looking at about $250,000 a year. The problem with that is that meters, like with anything else you buy, it has a useful life. So if you're going to do that try to do 5% every year, by the time you're done with the city, you're going to start redoing it. So it's the problem with that, any other legislation that goes on that principle, is that it's a perpetual mandate. So we just have to, it's more to do, it's more to maintain.
As with any government body, people are elected and not elected and such, but the feedback that I'm getting right now, interestingly, is that there are a lot of freshmen senators and representatives in Salt Lake right now, and a high number of them do not like unfunded mandates from the state, which is what sort of kill Jake's bill this year and may be the case for a little while. But again, there will be an election in a couple of years.
So. Well, and I hope that when every city submits their report to the state on the secondary water metering, that it shows the state what the cost is to the community, because it is a great cost. It's not as simple as just popping a hole in somebody's yard and attaching a meter to it. It's a little more complicated than that. In some cases, it is very simple, but in many cases, it's not. Some people have their meter cans or their connections in their driveway, so are we replacing their driveway too? It's a problem. So, and where do you start? And then once you have these meters in, do you start billing for them? This is the problem that we're hoping this the report addresses, because a lot of communities, they install these meters and then they haven't billed per usage. They use it as an educational campaign saying, how do we build per your use, your bill would have been this. However, there's going to be a base rate than a normal fee. But you have to do an education campaign as well.
Okay. I can't remember if it's still mandated, I thought it was still mandated in education.
It does.
It does, that's our policy.
So, can't remember, did we, for the, I don't know, under 50 meters that are in place right now in the city?
I would say like under 20 secondary meters.
Did we read them last year? I can't remember if we did. I mean, the year before was a big deal, but I don't remember last year being.
We did read them. I don't have that data as to what the usage was. All I remember is it was very similar to the two prior years. There was very little change in usage.
These are on homes in the town? Most of the city council. Oh, don't read mine, I don't live there anymore. It's not my fault, whatever it is.
So, I just bought one of those metering or monitoring.
Smart power.
Controller.
Okay.
So the Utah Water Conservation something.
Central.
Is offering a 50% rebate on them right now.
Yeah.
So I just bought for $100, $50. I bet it will save me, well, it won't really, but it will save me water.
Turn off the water when it rains.
Yeah.
They're nice.
So they're connected to the internet, so it knows when the rainstorm's coming. And it measures about the.
I can walk around my yard and turn that station on, but just push it.
And they do the rebates every year until they run out of money for the year. So do it.
Yeah, it has been an annual rebate program.
I haven't looked it up yet, but I have my things on it. I'm anxious to see what happens.
All right, council, any questions on the budget? Counselor, is there anything else you want to go over for 5 minutes?
We have two agreements that I'll quickly go over. We have two agreements with Utah County. That we're approving tonight. One is to run the municipal election this year. We have 3 seats open, and it's the same vote by mail. Countywide, they're contracting with every city, so we're most contract with them again this year. The second one is the creation of a crimes task force board with Utah County. You have a chance to go through that agreement. Basically, it creates a board and an organization that's helping communities fight certain types of crime. And on that board, it is police chiefs are sitting there, is that correct? Yes.
Okay, any questions on those agreements?
And then we have a resolution tonight. Mary's put together on the change of government, change of form of government. With those three items.
So should we be asking tonight? All right, if there are no more questions, I will take a motion to adjourn work session.
I move that we adjourn.
Motion made by Councilmember Geddes, is there a second?
Second
by Councilmember Bailey, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?